Amen. Turn with me to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. And verse number 11. Last night somewhere in my preaching, I must have tore that wireless microphone up and they gave me a different one tonight. So if you won't pray for me, pray for this microphone. It don't fall apart while I'm preaching with it. And I didn't even sling that one last night. Somebody told me that Brother Bailey hits himself in the head with it. And I got the blame for it falling apart, and I didn't do anything. Holding it like this, and it quit. Huh? Well, got to get started preaching here, I guess. Hey, man, I'm a little nervous tonight for some strange reason. You'd think after I've been here as long as I've been here, I'd be over my nerves, but I'm not. Verse number 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. If the Lord would help me here just for a little bit, preach to you, this woman was not looking for Jesus. She just wasn't doing it. She was on her way by. She was heading home or wherever it was she was going. I want to preach to you tonight on His plans for a passerby. His plans for a passerby. This woman that we're reading about here, I don't think this is just going to be directed to a woman in particular, but it has some truth in it for every one of us that are assembled here tonight. This woman suffered from something that had been going on for a long time in her life. The Bible said 18 years. It said she had a spirit of infirmity. What she had was more than just a physical ailment. She had something that was going on within her, in her spirit, psychologically. She was one of those that came up with the idea, and it coined the phrase that we use so often now, I can't. I can't. I can't. This is the woman that used it to the greatest detail. It's not a matter of, the Bible say, I believe at some point in time, maybe in previous years, she had made some feeble attempt, but it never really brought her the satisfaction that she wanted. And so she became content with just being bowed over and being bent. And it's amazing how many people in life just settle for something less than what they have to have. They just become content with the injuries and with the problems and the things that have taken place in their life. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God says you do not have to live with it. You do not have to stay with it. God's intentions for us is for us to have a change. God wants us to have a change. And I understand that we come to church, and I feel certain everybody that's in this building tonight physically, I hope you're here spiritually, and you really got your mind on this service and not on whatever is going to happen after this service, somewhere and wherever it may take place. But right here in this service tonight, there are people without a doubt that has got the same attitude that just happened to cross paths. I don't want to say accidentally with the Lord, but the fact is she never went out that morning with any purpose nor intent, as did the woman that had the issue of blood. She never started on a journey. She never had that great desire that would never be detoured by anything that was going on. Are you going to help me tonight? But she was one of those that just became content in her condition. She was one of those that could pass by Jesus and seemingly be unmoved, and nothing ever changed about her life. And it's a sad fact that there are some folks that happen to show up during revival that are in much the same condition. The reason they don't get anything, they're not looking for anything. They're not expecting anything. They are absolutely as content with the way life can go as they can be. They don't want any change. A change only causes pain. And after years of disappointment, an effort has been given. Certainly this woman is really in no mood to have any changes in her life. She's learned to deal with her problem the best way that she can. And although there may have been a conscious attempt by others who were her friends or her families that tried to give her a remedy or something to give her a cure, whatever effort she gave, she just said, "It's too bad. There's no use in going any farther. I'm going to try to preach to you tonight. Something here. I may get off track here in this service tonight. But I want to tell you, God's got plans even for the passerby. You see, God has got His purpose. Whether you come to Him intentionally or not, for every person that ever crosses paths with Jesus is ultimately changed for the rest of their life. Are you helping me tonight? There's been multitudes that have stood in the midst of our services and have given their testimony as to how they never came to church planning on anything. They weren't expecting anything. But the good news was that Jesus saw them way before they were ever looking His direction. To her, it's just another man in the street with dirty feet and sandals strapped upon them. Just another set of feet making dust and walking from village to village. They mean nothing looking at the feet, but a good glimpse of the face tells you the rest of the story of what this man is all about. For every person that has ever looked upon the face of the Lord, when they looked into His face, their life was forevermore changed. I've got to try to preach to you a little bit here. But this woman's spirit was deeply affected with the I can't syndrome. This word infirmity also means disability. She had a spirit of disability. And I am by no means going to speak lightheartedly of those that are disabled. But there's some people that are there, and I'm not talking about physically, but I'm talking about spiritually. They have spiritually disabled themselves and are sitting back on a seat somewhere, content with their condition, saying nothing's ever going to change in my life. It's going to take more than a new evangelist and another revival. It's going to take more than Pastor Bailey and the rest of preachers he's got sitting there to ever change my mind. It's without a doubt in my mind she had heard the rumors of revival, but she never bothered to attend. She had heard the story of how this one had been healed. The lame had walked, the blind were seeing, and the deaf were hearing, but she never bothered to join into that multitude that thronged Him and touched Him and was constantly in pursuit of that was lacking in their life. You see, there are people that are sitting among us in this hour that have much the same attitude and the same desire. They never get in on the revival. They do attend from time to time, but they are absolutely convinced that nothing's ever going to change in their lives. They have come to a place and they have gotten so content that all they can say is, "I cannot get up. I cannot get over this. I cannot get past it." But I want to tell you that God has a remedy for those that are bent and for those that are bound over. God has got everything under control. God knows exactly what He's doing. And for that man or woman that is afflicted with this syndrome, I want to tell you He's about to make a way and to pass by where you are. And
even though you never had in your eyes or in your mind settled that when I get to church tonight, I'm going to get a hold of Him. But it was in His eyes as He gazed out over the congregation that was assembled, and it was the purpose and intent of His heart that as you gathered in, you may not get a hold of me, but I'm going to get a hold of you, because God has got plans for that one that only intended to just pass by.
I'm just going to settle in here and hide among the crowd. I'm not going to do anything not. I mean, we premeditate and preconceive every idea we can. Okay, we're going to rehearse our answer. If we're asked to do anything tonight, the answer is, I can't. If I'm told and beckoned to run to the altar, I'm going to say, I can't. Yeah, you helping me here? If I'm called upon the scene, I can't. If I'm asked to give a testimony, I can't. Well, you see, I'm only on this road by chance that you're on. My intentions are not to get moved, and my intentions are not to get changed. I am bowed and bent. I know my condition, but I can't do anything about it. And if I can't do anything about it, then it's little chance that anybody else can. Come on, how many folks have you met that's just like that? They can't do anything about it, and they don't think you can either. In fact, they discounted you and every other individual, amen, that has any dealings with humanity, and gone so far to exclude God out of their plans. But can I tell you, God has got a different approach. He's got a different plan, and He's got you in mind. Just like the deer that comes into focus in the scope. I want to tell you tonight, friend, He zeroed in on you. But the Bible said that when Jesus saw her, that little word "when" that tells you that something is fixing to change in this woman's life. Because it never takes that long look without taking a little time, amen, to change what is wrong in this woman's life.
But I'm going to try to preach to you here. I'm winging it tonight. If I can, I'm going to try to make do with what little bit I can. I told Brother Keith before church, I just preached with imagination. I couldn't figure out how to write any points down anyway. So I'm just going to give you a little imaginary preaching right here tonight, if I can. Are y'all going to help me here? I'm so glad that God knows exactly what He's doing. There are some things right here. We could spend a lot of time talking about the 18 years that led up to this particular date. But I feel certain that some things don't have to wait 18 years. Some folks don't have to grow up and grow old before they get wisdom enough to realize that Jesus can deal with those problems. I don't know why it is. You know, some folks that have gotten older and wiser, that's what they've said now. But that's only just to let you know that for years they avoided the issues that were at hand. And they took matters into their own hands. And that if God could not do it, or if they could not do it, God could neither do it either. But I want to tell you right here tonight, God's got some great intentions, and His plans are firm, and He knows exactly what He's doing. He knows the outcome, while you can't even see the income. You don't even know what's going to happen right here, but He already knows how it's going to end. And the end is, you're going to be a participator instead of a sideline spectator before this service is over with. I got to try to hurry and get down here to it. The Bible said here, this woman had it 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself.
And while that is a statement of her faith, could in no wise lift up herself, there is a statement of fact. in that faith. Because in every attempt to raise ourselves, we always seem to fall back to the same position. We pick ourselves up and we go back down. Pick ourselves up and we go back down. We've commonly called it being in a rut, stuck in a ditch. Routine. What's the use to try? I've done it before, and it always ends with the same results. Why should I give a little bit more effort tonight? I don't know. Maybe you thought this ought to have been shouting preaching. It is. It really is. And you just ain't shouting yet. But we may get there before it's over with. But at this point in time, we're not shouting about it yet. But if I can make you understand that it is not your responsibility to do the raising. If there's going to be any raising around here, then the Lord is going to do that raising. He's going to do that lifting. He's going to pick you up to a place that you've never been before. He's going to lift you up in a way that it's been a long time since you experienced this. I'm telling you, this woman had been there. She had been straight, but it had been 18 years since she'd been that way. But I want to tell you, an 18-year absence, amen, from being raised up, it's still not too long that when God gets His hands on you, that He cannot erase 18 years from the memory bank of misery. He can lift us up and completely change us on a moment's notice. I'm trying my best to preach to you tonight, but I want you to notice what the Bible said. And when Jesus saw her, I don't know, there's something about that just kind of excites me. I mean, we stand up, and it's been given in this revival. Folks testify, I thank the Lord for what I saw tonight. And man, what a great testimony. I mean, the fact that you actually noticed something. For some folks, I know there's ADD. You know, you got that attention deficit disorder or whatever it's called. Ain't that what it is? Something like that? I mean, I had a hard time memorizing that, but I think it's something like that. And I know some folks has got that naturally. But some folks got that spiritually. I mean, they really don't notice anything. They don't pay attention long enough. I mean, about the time somebody gets anointed, I mean, they're halfway in the middle of a yawn. And I mean, about the time they got a tingle, it faded away just as quick as it come. Because they got to thinking about the clock. Or they got to thinking about dinner time. Or supper time. Amen. Or any other time beside the time that's going on right now in the present. Are y'all helping me right here? I mean, here this woman is. I mean, she ain't looking for Him. But I'm glad that He's looking. He's taking notice of everything that you're doing. And just because you came here tonight, and I'm glad of what we've saw, but I'm glad tonight to report to you, there's a lot of things that He saw in this service that's not even that the best of everybody looking around. We can take a quick look around the building and notice the apparel of everybody that is assembled here and get it in our mind what they're wearing, so we'll make sure that we know if they wear it again tomorrow night, I mean, or next week, or whenever it is. But I want to tell you, those things are what God takes notice of. What He's taking pictures of is that is bent and that is bowed together, or that's been there a while. Come on, you may change your apparel, but it has not changed your appearance. You may change everything on the exterior. You can go home and come on and search through the drawer and find your favorite pack of crayons and paint on a smile and come to church looking like all is well. But you've got a spirit and a soul that is bound together and has not been changed for days and weeks and months. But can I tell you, God is looking deeper than the veneer of the exterior. God's looking at a heart that needs to be straightened up and straightened out and needs to be changed entirely in their life.
I really wish I'd get a hold of this. I really do. I know y'all's probably wishing too. But I don't know. I'm sitting back here tonight. hold my pew as dry as everybody else was. I mean, you know, we've been around spiritual folks long enough, we can almost act spiritual. And really not even be spiritual. Huh? I mean, we can get the jiggle and the shake. And for some folks, it's only looking at the exterior. They really think, look at them. They're getting in. But inside, they're really not getting anything. Physically, they're standing upright. But spiritually, they're bowed over in pain. They've been that way for a while now. I feel like preaching this here. But somebody here tonight, I got some good news for you. You didn't think you'd ever see an end of that day. But the Lord, when He saw her, that statement is much like what I preached to you, whatever night it's been. It's like the hinges on the door. When Jesus saw her, you could go ahead and get your expectation and bring it to its highest extreme. This is the place where everything begins. That drastic change. Come on now. Aren't you glad? I mean, there are people that I've seen in life that I really, you know, I don't want to say and slight them in any way, but I felt sorry for them. I saw them, but I kept right on going. And I kept right on moving. But aren't you glad that when Jesus saw her, He didn't just see her and leave her. But the Bible said that when He saw her, He called her. I'm glad of everything that He done to her was in this service tonight. He's not only seen you, but He's got your name right there on the tip of His tongue, and He's fixing to call you out. Hey, I'd like to preach to you tonight. There are some that's only things to pass by, but God's got other plans for you in this service. I'm just going to go. I heard this in revival. I'm fulfilling obligation. I'm just on the normal path. I've just gone through a routine. I'm not expecting anything. But I want to tell you that Jesus has zeroed in on you. And His intentions are to turn your life around before this service is over. Hallelujah! But you're sitting there right now. No, I can't. If you're called upon now, you can't. Why? I just can't. Why can't you? I just can't. Is this making any sense? I'm not sure it is. I'm really not. I just can't. He sees you. Well, you tell Him when He sees me. I can't. I just can't. I'm not going to. And that's not really what it's all about. It's not the I can't as much as it is I'm not going to. I'm just not going to change. I mean, you could change, but you won't change. You could have a difference, but why change now? I've been this way for a long time. I was born this way. It's part of the traits of our family. Everybody in our family acts like this. Come on, we've all done this from years gone by. You can look at every one of us that's got the same last name. Come on, or the same maiden name of mama, or whoever you are. But I want to tell you, it doesn't have to be hereditary. It doesn't have to be handed down, and it doesn't have to remain the same. Why is it that the things that are abiding are not faith, hope, and charity? Ain't but it's pain, suffering, and I still can't. Years and years and years, revival after revival, I visit you, but nothing ever turns around in your life.
He saw. I'm going to preach only about 30 more minutes maybe, or an hour, something like that, or maybe 10, I don't know, but I'm going to try to talk to somebody here, and I don't even know who I'm preaching to. I wish I did. It might be easier. I could dismiss the rest of you and just go back and talk to that one, but for some reason, it seems like this seems to get your attention better. So we'll just keep it the way it is. Everybody else has got to go through this just to get you up and to get you changed. I know some of you convinced yourself, well, there's really not much wrong with me. I mean, whenever it's caught being bent and bowed, we certainly convince ourselves, well, I'm not really that bad. I got some pretty good morals, and I still believe pretty much everything I always believed. But the only thing is, you have nothing in your life. You are absolutely void of the presence of the Lord. But tonight is the night for everything that's been bowed and bent. Because I want to tell you here, when a soul does not have Jesus in it, and it's not full of the power of God, then it is bent. It is bowed together and cannot raise up itself. Is there anybody here tonight that fits this, that I'm preaching to you, that fulfills the criteria of that one that is just a pastor? Survive. I feel certain in my soul there are people sitting right here in this building tonight that had absolutely no intention of doing anything different when they got here. In fact, here I am halfway through this message, if you can call it that, and they still got the same intentions. And here is a woman, here's the call of Jesus, and he says to her, he calls her. Are you glad that he called her? I said, are you glad he called her? He didn't just call her over and stand and hang around, all around. Amen. With short talk. Amen. In vain conversation. He's got a message for her. You hear me now? And notice what he said. He saw her and he called her and he said unto her. There's something about those three things that makes a difference in this woman's life. And he said unto her, here's a woman. She's not among the multitude. She's not been in the revival up to this point. But somewhere in the middle of everything that's going on, Jesus stops everything that's happening. And he says, I'm going to do something for her before she goes home. I'm going to do something for her before she gets out of my sight. She left home. There's no way in the world to know where she's going to, where she's coming from. All we know is that when Jesus calls her to his side in front of him, he does not ask her for a detailed report. We get the details in the aftermath of the miracle. We find out 18 years she's been this way. But to Jesus, it really makes no difference if it's 18 years, 18 months, 18 weeks, days, or minutes. For him, it's someone that's bent. And today, he's going to make her straight. See, he could take the time and could go through a lot of motions. Brother Bill, and do a lot of things and we could hear the entire report. And for some of you, if we went through that tonight, I'm not sure we'd get done with your interview. It would take a long time for you to detail everything that has brought you to the place where you are right now. What exactly triggered this reaction that ultimately ended in a bent and bowed spirit? What it was that brought all this on? Whether it was just a phrase or a remark, if it was a hurt feeling or a hard feeling. I feel like preaching here, but I want to tell you tonight, God's going to change your vocabulary. A few months ago, and my little boy, we were somewhere in revival. Tim could probably remember it. I don't remember where it was at. But somebody told him, asked him about doing something. He said, I can't do that. And somebody told him, said, son, you're way too young to have I can't in your vocabulary. And I feel like some of you here tonight, God needs to change your vocabulary. Because this could not is affecting everything in your life. It's not only affecting you, but it's affecting your family, it's affecting your children, it's affecting the surroundings, and it is affecting the church. So much effect is given that it's starting to infect, and it's spreading like wildfire, and it's becoming a disease that's making it very difficult to have a revival.
antidote and the antibody, amen, to take care of that that's going on in your life. I really got to tell you something here. What is it about this woman? I don't even know. I really wish I could. If I could figure this preaching out, I might would do better with this. But I can't even figure out what I'm trying to tell you. You almost know something I don't. Because I don't know. And I'm glad I don't know. Because if I knew, I might not preach this. But since I don't know, I'm talking to you tonight. The Lord did not waste a lot of time with small talk. He went straight to the point. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. A few words that was going to make eternal changes. Thou art loosed. Thou art loosed. Sound like something you'd like to hear? You've been bound for a long time. Whether it's been a habit, an addiction, if it's just pleasure, something has kept you in check. That for years, you've longed somewhere in the secret chambers of your soul to run as free as you can. But right here tonight, you're as bound as you were the last time that you attended church. Nothing has changed. But the words that absolutely always turns everything around, He starts it with loosening. He starts it with freedom. The first step to the change for the rest of your life is going to be liberty. It's going to come on now. I wish I could preach to you here. I'm trying to tell you something. I wish I could tell you here really how I feel about this. Thou art loose. There's only one that's standing before me right now. You are bound. I see it, you're bound. God sees that you're bound. But the Lord wants to set you free. It is not His will for you to have to live this way for the rest of your life. God wants to get you loose. And this woman that he was not acquainted with, that was bowed over, he laid his hands on her. And we know that the Bible said the anointing destroys the yoke. Come on now. I've heard it said that it breaks it. If it breaks it, surely the devil would find a glue to put it back together. But when God puts His hands on us and the anointing touches us, it totally destroys. It could never be reassembled in the same fashion. And isn't that what we need? We need more than a lengthening and a loosening of that collar and that yoke that is about our neck. What we need is to be totally set free from that that has become an epidemic to our lives, that has so vexed us until we have trouble sleeping, we have trouble getting along with people. I feel like preaching to you tonight. He said, "Thou art loose." Come on now. Is this boring? Anybody falling asleep yet? Punch somebody. Make sure they're awake right here. I'm talking to somebody right here in this building tonight. Thou art loose. Thou art loose. In the moment that the fingers of the Lord touched this woman, it was like releasing a rubber band. She went from bound to standing straight up right there in the middle of everybody. I mean, come on, can you imagine the miracle when one that they all knew her, she was that old lady with the hunchback that lived in town, but now she is the woman that looks like she's never had a problem, and it's all because of the touch of Jesus. Can I tell you tonight, God has got plans for you that have entered this sanctuary to touch you and change your life. and she was made straight. I can't. But God can. I'm just not gonna be able to do it. But God can do it. And when He does it, you're gonna leave here with a different testimony. She came in with "I can't," and she left with "God can." And God did. She changed from being the one that was grumbling to the one that was glorifying. She went from the one with a bad attitude to a great altitude. She went from looking at dust, come on now, to looking at deliverance. She went from looking at her feet to looking at His face. Come on now. She went from looking at the ground to looking at glory. Everything changed in a moment when He said, "Thou art loosed." You never knew how many things could change all at once, but just being turned loose. But it completely changes your surroundings. It changes your outlook. And it certainly changes, come on, everybody else's look at you. Certainly you're no longer looking, amen, at everything derogatory. You're no longer looking at everything as being blue and downhearted. Come on, you're not the one that's always depressed. Come on, but you're the one, amen, that's been uplifted. It completely changed in your life. Oh, I would to God tonight that somehow in this building that God would take a hold of somebody. He's got you in view and He's talking to you and He wants to turn you loose. He knows you're not happy. He really knows you're not that way. But what He wants to do is get you up and change your life. I feel like telling you here, it is not His will that you perish in your position, but it's His will to uplift you and turn you around. You say, "Well, it's my point of view," but from somebody that's always looked down on everything. You're going to see things differently when you start seeing Him. Come on. Come on. Come on. I'm trying to preach to you tonight. Brother Sean, I hate that you had to walk in on a message like this. But I'm trying my best to tell somebody right here. You don't have to leave the way you came. You left home bent over. You left home all depressed. You left home bound together. But when you got in His presence, everything changed. And you see this woman who is a mother gone back home. She's upright. And when her husband finally makes it home, he sees a woman that's been straightened. "Hey, dear, where you been today? Did you visit the physician, the doctor, the chiropractor, the shrink, the psychologist, the psychiatrist, and all them other iatrists, and ologists, and all those other things?" "No, no, I didn't go to see anybody, but somebody saw me. And when they saw me, that's when it started changing." Are you going to help me right here tonight? I'm telling you tonight, God's got His eyes on this service. This service and this congregation has the attention of heaven as He's looking down. And He says, "There's a bent one. There's a bent one. There's a bowed one. There's one that needs to get up." Hallelujah. I see all those standing and moved and impressed by the power of God. But what I'm trying to drive at is for those that won't even look up. "But I can't. If I do, don't nobody fall out with me here. If I get healed, then nobody will feel sorry for me anymore. If I get over it tonight, I won't get compassion from people. They will not say, "There goes." No, I know you're going to lose some of your benefits. You might even lose a check. Come on now. I'm not being critical. I'm not being hard. But when you get cured, something's going to change. And tonight, He says, is your night. Come on, you didn't make the appointment. He did. Come on, we're walking through this town. There's going to be a woman there. She's not looking for us. She's not begging for prayer. She's not clasping the hem of my garment. She's not among the multitude. In fact, she's a loner, looking for nobody. Isolated by her own self-interest. Isolated and insulated from everybody around her because of the things that have happened in her life. I got to preach to you here. It may not be stirring you, but I feel the burden of my heart to tell you, God wants to turn you loose. He wants to set you free from that that has got you bound. I just keep hearing it over and over and over and over and over and over. I hear you, but I can't. I can't step out in front of these people. They're going to know. They're going to know you're talking about me. But does it really matter if I know when He already knows? And it's not me that you're sitting here to please. I hope you're here tonight. Come on now. We've got to get heaven's attention. Man, oh man. How I wish I could preach this, how I feel. Somebody needs to be turned loose. I have fought with the devil the entire time I've been trying to preach tonight. He said, "You're not doing any good. Nobody's listening." Because this is really not what they want. I'm fine the way I am. No, you're not. God said you're just getting by being bent. Years ago, something happened and it bothered me. And the reason I'm not really serving God the way I should, or serving God at all, is because of something that happened. But I've got to ask you tonight, did God do it to you? No. But God's going to pull you out of it. My wife's getting ready to come. I'm only coming for a visit tonight, preacher. God's got plans for the passerby. He knew you was going to be here. You might have snuck up on me, but you didn't slip up on Him. I'll just slide in. And while altar service going on, I'm going to slip out. No, you won't. You're not just going to slip out. The only thing you're going to slip out of tonight is if you'll heed the call of God you're going to slip right out of that noose that's had you pulled down for years. And you're going to spring up just like a brand new person, full of strength and energy and stamina, because God said, thou art loosed. This loosing is not a temporary fix. It is not something that lasts today and gone tomorrow. But it is a complete and entire operation. She's already said tonight, he's our surgeon. He's our surgeon. And right here tonight, God's wanting to perform surgery on somebody spiritually and take away the bands that have pulled you over, that have restricted you from ever doing anything really good. Come on, I really feel this in my soul. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost right here tonight. As I'm trying to tell you, thou art loosed. But I can't.
Baby, I really wish I had more to tell you. I wish I had a message. I mean, if I'd have preached on hell tonight, maybe it would have shook your foundation. But the Lord spoke to me tonight and said, they may not be looking for me, but they cannot stop me from looking at them. And tonight in this service, his eyes are fixed on somebody right here in this service. I can see their disciples as they continue to walk. Jesus has stopped. He's focused in on a woman that hasn't been right for 18 years. 18 years may be a stretch in your situation. But tonight God wants to turn you around. Woman. 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 Woman, woman, stop walking. Come over here. We need to have a conversation. I've got to talk to you. I've got something to tell you. Man, sir, you're bent and you're bowed. But God said, I'm the only one that can make you right. And I want to ask you tonight, do you really want a change in your life? Or are you going to go on from this day forward bent and die bent? Or are you going to take this opportunity to get straightened up? You see, his hands will never grasp hold of your head. His words will never enter your ears until you heed the call when he calls your name. No. Come on, look around, everybody, real quick if you want to. Who's he talking to? I think you know. The word has been direct. Because you're the one that's in this condition. I feel something just stirring in my soul. Does not have to end this way. I said it does not have to end this way. But preacher, you don't understand. I don't have to understand. And I do not need an explanation right here in this service to change my mind about what thus saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord tonight is spoken to me right here in this service. It's that you tell them I'm looking at them. They thought they were only passing by, could slip through and nobody would notice. But you tell them my eyes are bigger than that. And my heart is bigger than that. I'm moved with compassion. And my desire is to help them out. To get them up and turn them loose. My wife's playing. Man, it's tough tonight. I'm afraid of what people think about me. Does it really matter what people think? It does not matter how people feel about you. It's you. Take a lesson from Bartimaeus. As Jesus is passing by, he's blind. Been that way all of his life. He cries out, "Have mercy on me, thou son of David." The crowd rebukes him. "Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't raise your voice. There's no need to get emotional. Why would you do that? I'm trying to help somebody right here. I hope you don't get weary with me here. I'm trying to get finished right here. I really am. I want to try my best to reach somebody right here in this service." But Bartimaeus took into account, Jesus may never pass this way again. You know he was on his way from Jericho to Jerusalem. He would never, from that day forward, ever pass through Jericho again. This was Bartimaeus' last chance. He come on now. He thought about it. The desire of the crowd. The cry of the people. And he realized it's not your eyes. It's not your life. It's me. And he cried out again. This time louder. "Have mercy." And his cry stopped Jesus. And Jesus stood still. God's talking to you tonight, friend. And he wants to turn you loose. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? My wife plays. Are you that one that always says, "I can"? Then you need to come. It is not a coincidence that you and the Lord met under these conditions. But it was an act of divine providence. And according to the will of God, you met here in this service tonight. Change is going to take place if you submit to the call of God.